It's time for the truth. Will you join me in this study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're in the 50th chapter of the book of Genesis. We've had a wonderful study of the book of Genesis. And we're in the 50th chapter, verse 15. So you please open your Bibles to chapter 50 of Genesis, Genesis chapter 50, verse 15. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. Glad that you've joined us today. I hope that that is enough time for you to look it up so that you're ready for the study today. And please follow along now as I begin to read Genesis chapter 50, verse 15. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, "Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him." And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, "Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father." And Joseph went, wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, "Behold, we be thy servants." And Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them, and spake kindly unto them. Joseph dwelt in Jerusalem, he and his father's house. And Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, the children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. Joseph said unto his brethren, "I die, and God will surely visit you, and bring you out of this land unto the land which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, "God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence." So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Let's begin with prayer after we've read God's precious word. Father, we thank you today that we can come together and enjoy such a study as this. Please, that you have opened the opportunity for us, Lord, for these so many years that we've been able to study your precious word. Please, that you continue to bless us, continue to guide and lead us as we study your word and enjoy it each and every time. Please, dear Lord, that you will show us your way and will for our lives and for each and every one, that they would come by faith to Jesus Christ and be saved, that they would know you as their Savior, and then begin to grow. And so the program, the purpose of the program, is to come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus. Help us to do that today, dear Lord, please, each and every day. Now, as we come to a close of the book of Genesis, I ask that you will guide and lead us, please, dear Lord. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What a wonderful opportunity we have to study the Word of God. And I'm glad that you've joined us today to close out, to finish out the book of Genesis. And we will be doing that. And if time will allow, well, we're going to kind of do a survey of the book of Genesis. Because you see, we started the study in Genesis. We started it in, it took almost 3 years, a little over 3 years, to do the book of Genesis. And so what a wonderful study that we have had. And when we finish the survey, then we're going to go on into the book of Exodus, because there is so much as we have looked at the family of Joseph, and now as that the family of Judah, of Israel, Joseph being one. Of course, the last several chapters, it seems like it's really focused upon Joseph and how that God used Joseph to bring Jacob and his family down into Egypt and would grow the family to a very, very large number. And then we'll come to the time many years later as they begin to leave and exit the land of Egypt and head for the promised land. So really looking forward to that study. And so please don't miss it. But let's not jump ahead here. Let's look back at the book of Genesis and finish it up. And it's a wonderful, wonderful book. I hope that you've enjoyed it. And to think that we have spent, 3 years in a couple of months in order to do that. So we're looking at about 38 months, if I figured it properly, is about how long it took for us to go through this. What a wonderful opportunity. Joseph. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said. Now, isn't it something how each time, and this isn't the first time that it's happened, that when they realized, back even before they realized that Joseph was Joseph, when they went down into Egypt to get food, even before that time, we find that the guilt was there upon these brothers. And they had many times done many evil deeds. Not, just this one as they sold their brother into slavery, Joseph into slavery, but many other deeds. And it seems like they haven't forgotten any of them, and especially what they have done to Joseph. And now we find that Jacob, Israel, as his name has been changed, has died, and they have taken him home, taken him back to the land of Canaan, and buried him. Now they've returned back to Egypt. And this guilt re-arrives of the other brothers, and they're wondering, they're worried about what Joseph is going to do to them. They must have thought for a while, with their father being alive, that they had kind of some protection here. And we know, according to the verses of Scripture here, as it tells us, that there must have been some discussion between the other brothers and Jacob, the Israel, about Joseph, because we find here that they're worried about this, the evil that's going to come upon him. And they sent a messenger to Joseph, saying, "Thy father did command before he died, saying." So undoubtedly they must have said, Joseph, we've done an awful thing to Joseph, and I'm sure he's holding that against us. And so we find here that Jacob, before he died, undoubtedly had kind of set this down, or had written this down, to say, "So shall ye say unto Joseph." This is Jacob talking to Joseph through this letter, because Jacob is dead, Israel is dead. "Concerning the brethren, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespasses of thy servants, of the God of thy father." And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. they didn't understand it all, did they? And you know, people a lot of times today do the same thing. They carry that guilt all the time. And it's before them, and they have never forgotten it. They have never forgiven anyone else, and they can't imagine someone forgiving them. Well, Joseph forgave them. Joseph forgave them long ago. But you see, the guilt was still there, and that's so sad that Benjamin isn't a part of this. And so they're actually just 10, because we have Joseph is one. He's the one they're dealing with. Benjamin is the youngest, and Benjamin didn't have anything to do with it. And so actually there's just 10 brothers that are fighting with this and having this problem of trying to figure out, you know, what is Joseph going to do to us? And they even, again, I believe, went to the father, went to Jacob, and Jacob had kind of written this down or said, please, you know, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren. Well, Joseph had long forgiven them. And when he heard this and thought, oh, my friend, the guilt is still there. And please, you know, just ask the Lord to forgive you of your sin, of your trespasses that you have trespassed against others. And God is faithful. If you are a born-again believer, I hope that you have gotten victory. And I hope that guilt, you have left it at the altar. You have left it at Calvary, at the cross. Because that's exactly where Jesus Christ has taken it away from you. Please don't continue to carry it and be burdened about it. These brethren, they had never gotten rid of that guilt. And now that Jacob was dead, they were afraid once again of what Joseph was going to do. And Joseph thought, oh my, this is so sad. You should know me better than that. I am here to help you and to protect you and to grow you and to strengthen you. Why do you think I'm going to bring harm to you? And his brethren also went when Joseph wept. Why, then they came and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. You see, they were really scared. Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? Is that my position? No. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, and they did. They planned it. They worked it out, and they didn't know for sure all the little specifications, all the little things they were going to do, but they knew they had to get rid of Joseph, and they did many, many years ago. And all this time, this guilt was built up, and now that Joseph was in a leadership position right under Pharaoh, we still find that they were worried and concerned and burdened about what Joseph was going to do to them. Joseph didn't have any evil thoughts of them at all. They, you know, you did it for evil purposes, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as is this day, to save much people alive. With this time of the 7 years of feast, of fat, of plenty, and 7 years of famine, many, many people, millions probably of people, lived because of the dream, of the wisdom that God gave to Joseph. And Joseph can see that. He says, you know, at the time I didn't know what was going on, but now I can see. And that's what happens to us. Once we follow after the Lord Jesus Christ, come by faith to Him to begin with, confess our sins before Him, and turn unto the cross of Calvary where Jesus Christ died to take your sin away. You do that one time. You know, many people, they'll say, well, I do that every day. You know, I've done that many times. Well, if you've done it over once, you probably still don't mean it. You need to come by faith to Jesus Christ. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins. Take them away as far as the east is from the west. Give you victory and begin with that walk. And when you do that, you'll realize the burden of sin is lifted. The bondage is lifted. and you begin to live. And that's what Joseph found. He served the living God. He never stopped serving the living God. And he, I'm sure, had questions at time, from time to time, but he recognized that God had used this to put him into a proper place. And he says, "Now therefore fear ye not," verse 21, "I will nourish you and your little ones." And ye, and he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house. And Joseph lived 110 years. He lived to be 110 years old. So you can see in this 50th chapter that we buried Jacob. He died, and he was taken back home and buried. In the 49th chapter he died, and in the 50th chapter we take him home and back to Canaan and bury him. Well, now we have Joseph. Years again have passed, and we have Joseph. And Joseph is close to death, and Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. That gives us an example of how long that Joseph lived, and as his family was brought forth. Remember, he had Ephraim and Manasseh, and the children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And so not only the children of Ephraim's to the third generation, but also the children of Manasseh, they were brought unto Joseph. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, "God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence." So Joseph died, being 110 years old. 110 years old. And they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Now, if you'll remember, that's exactly what happened to Jacob. You know, Jacob was embalmed, and then they had the memorial service, and then they traveled all the way back to the land of Canaan and had a 7-day service there. Then they returned back into the land of Egypt. Now we find that Joseph died, and so Joseph was 110 years old. They too embalmed him. But a little different than Jacob. Jacob demanded that they take him home and bury him in the land of Canaan, the promised land. Well, Joseph is somewhat the same way. He says, when you leave here, you're not going to be here forever. When you leave here, when God leads you out of here, when he leads you away from here, back to the homeland, back to Canaan, take me with you. Take my bones with you. And we'll find through the scripture that they do exactly that. When they get ready to leave, they will take up the bones of Joseph, and they will begin to take him back. And he is taken all the way back to Canaan. His bones travel over a lot of miles, because for 40 years they carry his bones when they pick him back up again. And so we find now, as we come to the close of the 50th chapter of Genesis, that we have had the death again of Jacob, and now the death of Joseph, and all the things that Joseph has done for his brethren, yet they continued to carry that fear and that burden. You know, we have really enjoyed this study, and again, it has taken 3 years, over 3 years to complete it, and it's about 38 months is how long that we have enjoyed this study. And when you take that 38 months, that's a beautiful time of study, a very complete study of this book. We have learned many things from the book of Genesis, and I don't know if we can get through this general survey in the little time that we have left, but I will try to, and yet I don't want to hurry it too quickly. And, you know, we may even take the next time we come together to finish it too. We begin back in Genesis chapter 1, and we begin with the creation. And, you know, as we look at the creation, God says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And I hope you believe that. I hope you remember back when we started this study all those months ago. I hope that you remember, and I have such a privilege of teaching the Word of God, and it is an honor and a privilege. And, of course, the study that we have here is the purpose of this study. I do the Bible study for the radio program. You have never had the message, a Sunday morning message that we had copied and just taken and put on the radio at a given time. We do a study for the radio, and so we have had such a privilege and honor of studying many books as we have been on for several years. But to understand the book of Genesis is to understand the rest of God's Word. And so if you missed this study, please I ask you that you take your time and you read the book of Genesis. And when we go on to Exodus, I am really looking forward to that study. And so please that you don't miss the next several months as we go into the book of Exodus. But, you know, the creation, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. You got to believe that God created the heavens and the earth, and He did it in 6 days. He rested on the seventh. It isn't 1,000 years. It isn't 7,000 years that He created. He created in 6 literal days. You must believe that. The Word of God teaches that ever so clearly, and so you must believe that. I stay, as you know, with the King James. Please do the same. I haven't even moved to the New King James. I use the Old King James, and I never want to leave that. Many look at different versions and different interpretations and, oh, this one's better and this one's better and that's better. Oh, you know, don't waste your time. Go to King James. Go to the Old King James. Stay there. Study the Word of God. Don't waste your time trying to figure out if these others are good or bad. Just go to the King James. Stay there and use that book, please. I just ask you to do that. God created the worlds and the universe, everything He created, including man, including everything, in 6 days, and the seventh day He rested. And you know, we have, and that's in the first couple of chapters as we look at the Word of God. And of course, then we have very quickly the fall. And as we have the fall, as you look through, and I don't know whether you just kind of want to thumb through the scripture with me, but as you look through each one of these chapters, I hope that you see plenty of verses and plenty of things, that many things that you've underlined. And we know in the third chapter is where we find the temptation of Eve. And you know, she was disobedient. Satan places doubt. And he wants to do the same thing. He wants you to doubt the Word of God. He wants you to begin to think that the Word of God is just inspired in spots. And I think by going to these other interpretations, these other versions of the Scripture, that does just that. Let's go back to the King James. Stay there. And please, that we just study it together. And go back to the Old King James. Please, that you look, because one thing that Satan does is place doubt. And he can do that if he gets us looking back and forth. Most churches today, most places today, do not believe in the Word of God. They believe that parts of it are God's Word, but not all of it. All of this is God's Word, and you need to understand that, and you need to believe that. We've learned that through this study. And the way that the devil put the doubt into Eve's mind, he said, "Yea, hath God said." And so you can see it's very simple words that bring into the picture here. Very simple words that bring into the picture question or doubt. It doesn't take much. "Yea, hath God said." And he knew that he had Eve. And I don't want you to miss this. It's been a long time ago. The devil knew that he had Eve because when Eve came back and quoted God's word, when she said it, she added to it. And you know, if you've ever, you know, when you're back in grade school, maybe you did something like that. You know, in grade school, why you took a saying and it started at one end and then it went all the way through to the other end. By the time it got through 5 or 6 people or 10 or 15 people, the words were totally changed. It was totally distorted. And that's the reason that we have to stay with God's word. We need to quote it correctly. We need to study it correctly. And we don't need to be looking around here at something that's better, because the old King James is going to take care of it for you. So stay there. Don't give someone the purpose or the opportunity to put doubt there, please. It is God's word. He said to Eve, "Hath God said?" And then, when he had an opportunity to tempt her, to bring her to this position of this place of disobedience, he did it. It's good to eat, tastes good, pleasant to the eyes, and it's going to make you wise. Boy, he just attacked her, and he went, and the devil has not changed to this day. He still goes after those same avenues that he went then. Good to eat, good to look upon, and it attacks or it approaches your intelligence. Going to make you smart, going to make you wise. And nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. And Eve's downfall was when she quoted or misquoted, added to the word. We cannot add to it. We can't take it away, take away from it. If we do, we're in dangerous territory, very dangerous territory. And so we have the fall. We have this decision of Eve after she had been tempted. That's in the scripture here as we look at the third chapter. But then we get to the third chapter, verse 15, is the very first gospel presented. You see, when the fall come right there, right at the time, God brought and presented to us the plan of salvation, the gospel. And I'm going to read it for you, and it's in Genesis chapter 3, verse 3. "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." That is the very first gospel that was presented immediately following the fall. And so we need to know that Jesus Christ from the very beginning was going to be our Savior. It never changed. From the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation, never has salvation changed. It must be done by faith. You must come to Jesus Christ in Him alone, not adding any works or anything else. And the work of salvation was put into place before the foundations were built. Before that, way before that, it was put into place from the very beginning and not of time. It always has been in the heart of God to give us salvation, to give us an opportunity to come back into fellowship with God. And that opportunity was given way before man ever fell, because you see, God knew, gave us a choice, gave us an opportunity. And you know, we look at this plan of salvation, and we also look at the picture of the very first offering that was made as a picture of what was to come, a picture of the cross of Calvary. And that's when the coats of skins were placed up on Adam and Eve. The very first offering, first sacrifice was made. And as we come by faith to Jesus Christ, God does all the work of salvation. We just need to come. We need to accept that gift. It has never changed. The coats of skins, those bloody skins that God put up on Adam and Eve, they had to accept them. It was a work of God. He slaughtered the animals, he prepared the skins, and he put them on them. But they had to receive them and accept them. Nothing has changed. You know, I was afraid of that. We sure didn't get very far into this. We will finish the survey the next time we come together, and then we'll get on into the book of Exodus. And so don't miss next time that we get together. Don't miss that we come and help me finish through this general survey of the book of Genesis, and then we will get on into Exodus. My dear friend, I am glad that you've joined us for this study. I hope that you haven't missed a one out of all those months. But please, the most important thing, I hope you didn't miss Jesus Christ. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?